And welcome back to another edition of Zoomed In. I'm your host, Brandon Chapman, and I'm joined by Melissa Piercy. And Melissa, thank you so much for joining me. You are a science educator in the Spokane School District at Jefferson Elementary. And you've mentioned to me that you do a variety of classes. You go into 24, I think you said, different classes to teach science. And you know, never before, I think, has it ever been as hard with the moving target and COVID and everything going on. But I appreciate with all of that, you joining me and talking about science and why science matters, and specifically, you know, demystifying some of the ideas that we may have about science. So the reason, just for the viewer, the reason that this came to my attention is that you had submitted a video to a competition, and you won honorable mention, which means it came with no money, unfortunately, but I got to watch the video and I was really impressed with it, and a few things stood out to me. So let's first, just to get to know you a little bit, let's find out, you know, who you are and you know, what made you want to get into science and become a science educator?
Right. This is I've been an elementary educator for about 20 years. So this is my 20th year teaching. The last seven, I have got to just teach science. I grew up very curious, and I always loved science. And then as a classroom teacher, science was the time that kids wanted to read and write and be curious. And it really was motivating for a lot of kids. And so when the opportunity came up to go teach science full time to kindergarten through fifth grade, I took it. It's very cool in my position because I don't get them for a year. I get them for 6 years. As kindergartners, I see them walking in the first day of school and then all the way to fifth grade. So I get to see how they develop. I chose science just because kids, I think, are naturally curious, and I can provide an environment where what we do reflects what real scientists do. And we're not doing a lot of worksheets. We're doing a lot of, they're creating their own experiments. They're coming up with discoveries. They're talking to each other. They're kind of back and forth, different ideas of like, what is gravity? What is not? And so that it gets me up every morning after 20 years of teaching. I still love it. And to be able to provide that environment for kids, I think, is the best job. Got a good gig here. So.
Yeah. And I think this is something we will touch on, but kids are naturally curious, and you know, whether it's the inquiry or argument-based inquiry or whatever it is with science, it is puzzling sometimes that these things that are naturally inherent in children, that they don't all gravitate towards science. And so talk to me about this video that you produced called Why Science Matters. And then we will watch that in just a little bit, but talk to me just the gist of this video, and then maybe we'll break it down, but give me the 30,000 foot overview of it.
All right. So the Why Science Matters is we have so many kids being born in America every day, and some of them go towards science and some of them don't. And so kind of looking at the research behind how kids view a scientist, a lot of times it's a very traditional Albert Einstein versus maybe Marie Curie. Like, she's not represented as much as an Albert Einstein. And so the research that I was looking at is how that trend is changing, to where if you gave a classroom of kids a piece of paper and said, draw a scientist, Albert Einstein type images would come up a lot more. However, part of the research that I got to do, like within one of my classes through the PhD program, is I gave kids gave them a piece of paper, and all of the girls, third through fifth grade, drew a girl scientist, and a lot of them drew themselves. So you can see that change. And so in the video, I just kind of alluded, like, we are starting to change. More girls are drawing themselves, more kids that are underrepresented are drawing themselves. But what if we could get every kid in the science club, if everybody's invited to teach science? It doesn't, or to practice real science. It doesn't mean that they have to come and be a scientist when they grow up, but if they just have that, this is what scientists do, and they demystify science of, like, I think if you ask a lot of people, like, what does a scientist do? They couldn't really tell you unless they knew a scientist themselves. And so it's just kind of providing that for especially all kids, like, this is what a scientist does. Could you see yourself doing it too?
Yeah, and I think that, you know, the difficult thing, I have a couple sisters and a brother. We were two boys, two girls, from a family of educators. And there was never any sense that you couldn't do what you wanted to do. And yet I also grew up in that era. If you typed in scientist, you would get the Albert Einstein. And, you know, every one of my, we had this thing called home ec, if you remember that. Yeah. That was always going to be a female. And so it was a different, you know, that being able to see yourself in that, even if you're told you can do this, to not be able to see yourself can be a difficult thing. So without further ado, what I'd like to do is let's take a look at this video, and then we'll come back and talk about that.
Sounds good.
Why Science Matters. I'm Melissa Piercy, and I'm a graduate student here at Washington State University. Go Cougs! Almost 4 million future scientists are born in the United States each year. It's time to demystify science. My research interests include how elementary students see scientists, what they think scientists do, and most importantly, what influences a student to see themselves as a scientist. Chambers' work assesses students' perceptions of a scientist by having them draw a scientist. You guessed it, Caucasian male in a lab coat. But fast forward to today, more students are drawing females as scientists. This shows progress. However, with more science funding made available, we can make sure every student views science as a future possibility. Every student can have the opportunity to pursue their passion in science and share their intellect with others. And every student can use their own experiences with the help of sciences to be able to help their community. As the amount of potential U.S. citizens continues to grow, funding science will help our whole population see themselves as scientists. Not just impacting Americans, but allowing American scientists to impact the world. And this is why science matters.
First of all, excellent video. I really enjoyed that. And yes, so demystifying science, what science actually is. And I think that's maybe what I alluded to earlier with, you know, naturally inquisitive kids not understanding that this is actually something that that they would like this, right? But what really stood out is how the question that you posed, how do elementary education, how do elementary ed, I can't read my own writing here, so what they think scientists do versus maybe what scientists do. So talk about that, and you've certainly heard everything I could imagine with K through five students, but what are some of the things that students say, here's what a scientist does?
Just from my classroom, my favorite one is I had a kindergartner say, you know what science is? You fill your heart with a lot of questions and curiosity, and then you talk to your friends about the answers to your questions. And so it's like, that really is that peer part of, like, you are talking to other people, you're asking your own questions. And how I've seen the impact with my students when we put a phenomenon, or like right now we have a blue balloon that has got away and it's up in the ceiling, and they ask questions about it. Like, is there a pattern? Why is it up there? When will it come down? If we let another balloon go up, will the same thing happen? I have a second grade class that put the balloon in the freezer, and they are doing that. And so it's just kind of, as a teacher, standing back, presenting something, and then letting them ask the questions, and then going, oh yeah, we can test that out, or let's do a little bit of research, and following the student. A lot of the things that students said, they believe that they could be a scientist, that they talk to other people, that they argue with other people, but not like they just exchange ideas with other people, that they do their own experiment. One cool thing that came out, because the draw scientist is usually chemistry, and a lot of them drew themselves, like, out finding dinosaur bones, or I have a lot of budding oceanographers of like, I want to learn about sharks. And so, or they share their own experiments that they've done, or I go on a nature walk and I notice this. And so just, it's not in a lab that you do science, but science is relevant to their own life. They're bringing in their own examples. And then also, it's not just one specific type. Although we love chemists, it's whatever you love, you can do science with. Or really, it's the message is science wants all types of brains, not just one, or all types of not brains, brains, but well, they do, but minds. And so everybody's welcome to the science club.
Yeah, that's cool. And speaking of demystifying something that one of our educators, Andy Cavanetto, in something he mentioned a long time ago was, let's debunk this idea that argument is always a bad thing. We're not talking about people arguing on Facebook here. We're talking about a process in science where you learn, you listen, you defend, and in that way, in sharing ideas, we can actually we can really strengthen e either what we found or learn something new that could help out, and that's a very important process.
Well, letting them have a scholarly talk, and that's how you, because there's so much uncertainty in science, so you're having those talks, and it's not, you're right, I'm wrong, it's this is what we agree on, and when we find more evidence, we'll know more. But definitely.
So I have a question for you then, because you again, you are a science educator. So if you could take yourself back when you were in elementary school, only about 15, 20 years ago, let's just what did you see? How did you identify as a scientist, or did you not, and you just didn't care? You were going to move forward anyway, or was there some reason why you said, "Hey, this is me. I can see myself in this"?
Actually, we have seminar, and that actually was brought like what flips the switch. I think for me, my mom's an educator, and I come from a bunch of educators too. And I got a microscope in third grade for Christmas, and then I was set. Like I loved looking at it and exploring. Through school, I've had wonderful teachers. In college, I had, speaking of argumentation, Dr. Spannenberg, who worked at Spokane or Sacred Heart, and he would bring in real research, and he would let us argue about or explain different things, and that was kind of like what made me want to kind of go into elementary science, kind of, or it was on my radar that way. But and I grew up in a house too that we a lot of curiosity, a lot of creativity, and it helped with science too. But I'm trying to think of specific science in school. I've just had different teachers. We had different experiences kind of along the way that have helped kind of.
That's incredible. In my one of my chemistry classes in high school, we just watched baseball on a TV that the teacher had. He was close to retiring, and he I'm not sure he was as passionate about it as you are.
Yeah, well,
So.
and it's funny because I had a little boy, and actually his name was Brandon last year, and he's like,
Troublemaker then, yeah.
I like your science class, but PE is what I like the most. And he's like, oh, Brandon, tell me what you like in PE. Well, I like that we throw footballs. I was like, did you know that science and PE go together? It's called physics. And if you knew a little bit about physics, you could actually get that ball to go farther. And then it was just around about the time of the Super Bowl. So it was like, when you look at the Super Bowl this weekend, look for physics and how things move. And so just letting him know, like, if you can take whatever you love, and there's science
That's
as part
right.
of it.
And I'm a baseball guy, so you can talk to me about a knuckleball and Bernoulli's principle and all of that. And now all of a sudden you have my attention, right?
When I think that's really, as teachers, that's what we need to do. They're coming with their science, the academic, the funds of knowledge, but whatever their love is, you can take that and guide them towards science.
So I neglect, and I apologize for this. I neglected to mention when I introduced you that you were a PhD student in our math and science education program. But you are, and so talk to me or let our viewers know. You know, what was it that drove you back to get this degree? You know, after you've been in the field for so long, and And then let's just talk about the research that you're doing, because it obviously dovetails with all of this. There's a reason you did this video in particular.
So I joined the PhD program. I'm a second year student because as I felt like in the classroom, I was a little bit too academic not to kind of want to delve into it. But then academic-wise, I feel like I'm a little bit too much of a practitioner. And so through the program, that it's challenged me a lot to connect that theory to the classroom. And then once I joined the program, it's been a wonderful community. It's a research community. Everybody is there to lift each other up. I've just had wonderful classmates, and then also the teacher. Well, Andy's one of them, and then a couple others have been really wonderful. Well, yeah, Jonah and Don. I just had Don McMahon's class last semester, and that was wonderful. And that was part of the reason why the video came into play in his class for the Universal Design for Learning class in assistive technology. He was talking about when you do ask kids to represent something that you have multiple ways. So maybe if you do like communications, you are doing a video. If you do like to draw, like the video scribe, if you want to write it out. So you just give options for kids to show to represent their thinking. And so the video scribe program that I did for this video is one of the, I was looking at that initially to let my fifth graders make their own videos for how gravity worked. And then in our seminar, which was led by Andy, we were doing elevator speeches. And so like, how would you get your message across? It was like, oh, this is the perfect way. And then in my other class with Amy for Dr.
Off
Rothman,
McCuffey.
yes, we were actually doing a pilot study. And so my pilot study was I did take my third through fifth graders, had them draw scientists, saw what they drew, but then had them go to Flipgrid and actually explain their pictures. And so from that, and then a survey, I could kind of go like, what is your perception of science? Can a scientist be creative? 100% of the kids said that. Can anyone be a scientist? Do scientists make mistakes? 100% of the kids said that. So as a teacher, that showed me what type of budding scientist I have, and I could plan instruction that way. But then in the program, everything kind of came together that way. But I do want to plug the UDL class if you can. I know that Don is trying to get more faculty on board with the Universal Design. And he's a pretty funny guy. Like he's a pretty good professor. It's a worthwhile class too. But so that kind of sprang from
And it's all about tone, because you could have said he's a pretty good professor. I think I may have heard you say almost all, you almost said he was funny or something.
Oh, yeah,
Because
he has his funny moments, but yeah,
yeah,
and he is
Jonah
just
Firestone, you mentioned
approachable and
Jonah as well.
wonderful. So,
Jonah's one that always makes me laugh.
yeah, well, and I have Jonah this actually tonight for a class. And so, yeah, that's a good.
That's amazing. Melissa, I let everybody do this, and I feel more comfortable having you do this than other people, but I'm going to give you an open mic now. Any last words, anything that you want to add? I'm not sure I would do that for Don or Jonah. Hey, here's an open mic.
Although you could probably charge, they could have like a science comedy team of
They
like,
could.
well, all three of you could be the trio, like go on the road. That actually, I don't know, could be kind of funny. Well, it could,
We'll take
it
it on the road,
little,
or just do a TikTok channel or something.
yeah, like yeah. So open mic. I just want to. My big plug is just get to know a scientist. Oh, I was even watching Dr. Universe through the, I think it's through the, and they are starting to highlight scientists' jobs through WSU. I was like, that's great. And so, but for the most part, I'm just trying to think of like demystifying science of that science really is all around you. Don't lose your curiosity because really that kind of is the driving force for just asking why and then following up with the answers. So,
Awesome.
you know, but.
Melissa Piercy, Jefferson Elementary School in the Spokane School. Hey, well, last question. Where did you do undergrad?
Eastern. I got my
Okay, so I just
master's.
wanted to point out, but you're a Coug now, and that's what every Eastern person wants to be eventually, is a Coug.
Yeah, well, until you marry a Grizz and the University of Montana, like, I don't know, each is different. But yeah, I was just kind of teasing on an email to the PhD students of like, we're part of a Coug community. And so, and it, you really can tell. I work with a lot of people that did their undergrad with at WSU, and there just is something very special about that community. So I am glad to get to be part of it. So.
And we welcome you with open arms. So thank you,
Thank you.
for joining that math and science education program. And thank you for joining me today, Melissa. I think this was, it's eye-opening for me. I loved the video and love getting to talk to you more. And it looks like you have a fun classroom as well. So.
Yeah, well, speaking of, I'm a scientist or scientist. So those are pictures up there of I. There's a campaign called I Am a Scientist, and it has all sorts of like one of the physician scientists. She's like, I love Beyonce, and so the kids as they leave, they always read those, and they're like, I didn't know a scientist could love Beyonce. I love Beyonce. It's like, yes, that's the whole point, is scientists are regular people, and they love Beyonce, or like they love sports and stuff. So it was just kind of a cool campaign called I Am a Scientist, but it just shows people of all walks of or backgrounds that they can be a scientist.
That's awesome. Melissa, thank you. I appreciate
Thank you
it.
very much.
Next time I'm in Spokane, I'd love to bring a camera up and, take a look at some cool science stuff you're doing.
You're welcome. Yeah, you're welcome too. It's really my dream job. It's a good job. So.
Awesome. And it sounds like you're good at it. So thank you again for joining me on Zoomed In.
Yeah, thank you.